All right. Welcome to the Rough Fish Registry.
Yeah, sitting here at the South Studio, I guess we could call it.
Yeah, Studio of the South, that's right.
Yep, down here by the Arkansas line.
We can see Arkansas at the back window.
Yep, got to cross Table Rock on the way down, and she's rolling. She is coming up.
5 feet in 2-3 days?
Yeah. Yeah, it's 918? What'd I say, 918 this morning. It was
912. That's almost 6 feet.
Yeah, 912 a couple days ago.
Yeah, I crossed Kings River last night, and it was ripping it.
I almost didn't even come. I should just hooked the boat up and went and chased fish.
So,
yeah, that's where them high pressure sodiums come in.
Oh yeah.
yeah.
Sure. Well, we've got a fun episode today. We have the infamous Jeff White of Fish Hunter Enterprises hanging out on the line, and we're gonna bring him over in just a second.
Yeah, I'm excited about this. I've got to shoot fish with him twice down in Florida,
mm-hmm.
and he's just a wealth of knowledge. I mean, he's got everything from, I mean, he guides the stingrays, but he's at all the big tournaments, and he's competing in them. So it
always, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you and I went out together back last summer, and the fishing was a little slow, but just to listen to him talk for 4 hours was well worth the money.
I mean, oh, yeah.
Just the knowledge he was dropping. So we knew he was like a guy we had to have on the podcast. So.
Yeah, I think I stayed back there more than you because you'd never shot a ray before. So I was just sitting in the back.
Oh, yeah. You were grilling him.
Picking his brain about anything and everything.
Sweet.
But, yeah.
So let's bring him on. All right. Hey, Jeff, you there?
Hey, boss. Yeah. How y'all doing?
Oh, living the dream, living the dream.
What's the weather like down there in beautiful Florida right now?
It's hot. Real hot right now. And it's getting, we get it starting to move through. Humid and fixing the rain and the cloud, but it's still hot.
Mm.
Gotcha. My wife's actually down there right now. I think she's farther east than you, but I think she's down there doing some shopping, and she said it was beautiful compared to here, at least.
Yeah.
Overcast.
Yeah, it's probably is overcast over on the beach. I'm about an hour from the beach. I can't deal with the beach unless I'm shooting fish, so I try to stay away from it.
Yeah, if I lived anywhere close to the beach, it'd be a bad deal because I think I'd be out there every day. All right, Jeff. So where exactly do you guide out of?
We shoot out of Panama City, Florida.
Gotcha. Do you live down there too, or is it a little bit of drive for you to get there?
Yeah, I live close here. It's the downtown where we normally meet all the clients right there at the marina. It's about 45 minutes to an hour from there. I kind of live over on the Apalachicola River, back out in the swamp.
Gotcha. So you're around Panama City, so you basically can include all the area from, I mean, people can get to you from Destin to Pensacola, right?
Yes, sir. I try not to go all the way to Pensacola. I do every once in a while, but mainly I shoot Destin some. I shoot Panama City. Probably 98% of my trips are run out of Panama City. Port St. Joe, I try to run all the trips I can there. It's just one of the harder bays to fish because of the wind. The wind kind of kills us there. But, man, the rays are there. And for families coming down, if they're not looking to be in the hustle and bustle, Port St. Joe is, like, it's perfect. But there's not a lot to do other than sit on the beach and a few restaurants, a little bit of shopping, but you don't have all the hustle and bustle of people running everywhere. You can actually drive down the road in front of the beach and kind of laid back. So
gotcha.
I tell everybody, unless you just want to be in that Panama City or Destin crowd, then, you know, come to Mexico Beach or St. Joe because the fishing is just as good, if not better, and the crowds are a lot better.
Yeah, we drove all the way over from Gulf Shores, somewhere over there.
Gulf Shores, yeah.
And the drive wasn't too bad at all. I mean, get to shoot fish with you, it's always worth a little bit of a drive, in my opinion.
Yeah, it was a good time. What was that, like 3.5 hours? Or three hours from Gulf Shores? But, I mean, it went by pretty quick. It wasn't that big a deal.
Yeah. Yeah, I got to.
Yeah, I get a lot of guys that come from Gulf Shores and over, you know. And to me, I keep thinking, man, that's a three-hour drive, you know. But for most guys like yourself, you know, y'all already drove 10, 12, 14 hours to get down, you know. So 3 hours is not that bad. And, you know, here, I try to keep everything close. But what I try to do personally is for my clients, you know, I try not to meet at the same place. You know, or I try to meet at the same place, but if the rays are not there, what I try to cut down on is boat traveling time. And I know it kind of sounds weird, but here you can have the wind blowing, like say right now it's blowing out of the southeast at about 6 knots. And it's not too bad if you're going with the wind, but you take the bay 3.5 miles across, well, you get to the leeward side, you know, and you're okay. You get to the windward side, and it's like, oh my gosh, you know, you start getting into 3 to 4 footers.
Yeah, and, she gets to rolling.
Even though I have a huge boat, I mean, y'all been on my boat, it's very stable, it's a 24 foot skiff. You know, it takes waves and water great. It will let you, though, but I try not to put my clients or my gear through the beating that you get when you start getting into heavy waves. And if I can make if we can drive with a vehicle to a ramp and put it in, and within 5-10 minutes, we're shooting fish, you know, to me, that's what I would expect if I went somewhere. And that's what I try to do with my business, is make sure that I treat clients the way I'd like to be treated. That's sure. It's not going to be a good time. Hey, give me the option. Let me know. Hey, you know, the rays are going to be hard to find, and we'll go out and see. But, you know, I try to do my best, and I know when people come down, people want to shoot a 100-pound ray, you know, and that's the hardest thing to explain to people. I know I've shot more 100-pound rays have been shot off my boat than anybody. We're at 408 is what our current number is right now. We shot 408 100-pound-plus rays in 10 years.
That's awesome.
And that's all my clients. That's not including anything that I shot or my wife shot or some of my, you know, family and friends have shot. That's all clients. I strive for that. If I've got friends.
A 100-pound ray is like shooting a 200-inch whitetail, in my opinion. I mean, I've seen – well, I've been down there with you twice. And one time, the first time, the rays were everywhere. And, I mean, we shot, I think it was a 68-pounder. And I can't imagine what it'd be like to shoot a 100-pounder, but I mean, those 60 pounds, those 50 to 60 pound rays, I mean, I would assume you could get an opportunity at those on a pretty regular basis. Is that true, or am I just thinking way out of the.
On the average, the average rays that we shoot are running between, I would say, between 25 pounds and 45 pounds. That's a great rate, that's a good average. And we'll get a lot of smaller rays, and we get into the smaller rays. I try to tell everybody, hey, shoot at them. Let's do target practice, but be ready, because we do roll in on one of these bigger girls. You know, you should try to be able to hit it. And people laugh at me, oh, I can hit it because it's as big as a hood. But there's a lot of people miss. And it's I claim it as stingray fever, sort of like buck fever. You know, you see it, and it's like, oh, my gosh. And you forget all your basic instincts.
Yeah.
But those big rays, I've never shot a gator guard. I keep talking to alligator and telling him, man, I'm going to get over there with you and shoot a gator guard. But it seems like my prime time when I'm busy is the best time for over there. But we're going to make it happen. That's on my bucket list, is to go shoot a gator guard. And
yeah,
I've had a lot of clients.
We just got back from southern Louisiana, or I did. Pate couldn't make the trip because it was pregnant wife, I guess that's more important, but we had an awesome time down there. It's somebody like Yater, though, is so in tune with what's going on down there, just like you are with the rays, that, you know, we wandered around for 3 nights and we got on fish one night. And it was funny because Yater sent us a message and he said, I know exactly where you killed those fish at. And I said, well, tell me. And he sent me back where it was. And he even knew which side of the place we were on. He said, you know, north, south, east, or west side. And he said the exact side and the exact place we were at. I was like, you got to be kidding me. But yeah, Yader, he's a good guy. He's you know, just like you, he's one of the better known guides and can put people on the fish and provide an awesome experience. But so when you come, say somebody books a trip with you, it gets down there and is ready to go bow fishing, what do they need to bring their bows? Do you provide bows? How does that how exactly does that work?
Yeah, I provide all the equipment. I provide your bows, your arrows, everything you need except sunglasses. You know, if we take a day trip, bring your own sunglasses. I try to tell everybody to don't wear anything that you don't mind getting bloody. And some people will wear their new shoes and they'll find that real quick. We get into some cow race, it gets very bloody very fast. But I provide all of it, license, and I even got a first mate. Steve, he's been with me now 4 years, I think, and me and him work real good together, and it kind of keeps, we take care of everybody. You know, I get a lot of people, I know, like when y'all were down there, it's like, no, man, here, I get this off. We try not to let anybody take fish off. And we try to take care of everything, and that's, you know, we supply it all. And this year, you know, I wasn't going to tell anybody, but it's a special occasion, so I'll let everybody know. This year, we will have Oneida bows on our boat. We've still got our AMS pumpets that we've got on the boat, but we'll have Oneidas. If you want to try one out, you can try out the new Oneidas and see how they shoot and see what the big hype is on shooting an Oneida. A lever bow as opposed to a cam bow. And, you know,
that's awesome.
You know, as well as I do, it's a big difference. And I've had several people just in the last few weeks that's tried them out. And it's like, wow, that's a big difference. And I'm like, yeah. I said, that's why people are paying, you know, $800 for a bow. And I'm grateful to be able to get that opportunity.
Yeah. And the ease of them to be able to work on them on the boat, too. You know, when that dry fire that always happens, you know, it's those bows are so easy to break down and get put back together with just a set of Allens, basically, makes them ideal.
Yeah,
you know,
how much you see a bunch of abuse on your equipment, I'm sure, so that's got to be a huge benefit to have equipment like that.
Yeah, it is. It's having something that I can adjust to people and be able to work on quick, that's great. You know, like you were saying about dry fires, I mean, people would cringe. I've been doing it long enough. I cringe a little bit, but I'm kind of getting more used to it. I imagine when the first Oneida gets dry fired, I'm going to kind of cringe and come unglued for a second. But but these bows that we have on the boat, you know, I tell people, I said, man, I said, everybody says, well, this bow will come apart when you dry fire it. And I'm learning it's all on how you tune the bow and what you do. If you dry fire it and you twist your wrist, it's coming off, the strings are coming off the cams. Oneida, you know, you dry fire it, you know, they're going to stay together unless you hit something.
Yeah.
That limb catches something, it's coming apart, you know. It's nice being able to work on the stuff and be able to adjust stuff on the boat. And I see, I got to go to the ATA show this year and look around at some of the new equipment coming out. And there's a lot of new gear coming out I think bow fishermen are having an influence into the market and people are starting to put out bows that are more tuned to bow fishing instead of like when I started, you know. Dang, I started 42 years ago, and you know, we're just using an old hunting bow and put a hand wrap reel on it, and that's what we shot with. And now, you know, we've got take on lever bows that are top of the line. We've got muzzy reels that'll hold up good. We've got AMS bottles that'll hold up good. You know, and every day I'm amazed. When I get on Facebook or somebody sends me a message and says, hey, have you checked this out? And I see all the new innovations that's coming out. And I'm like, wow, you know, this is great. You know, bow fishing's taking off just like y'all with this show. It's a platform to get the message out and to help boat fishermen. If I'd had anything half of what it is now back when I started, man, it'd be crazy.
So when you started bow fishing, you said it was 40-some years ago, you know, with an old hunting bow. Were you in Florida, or were you living somewhere else, or?
No, I actually lived in Alabama. When I first started, I'm originally from Alabama, and we lived in central Alabama. And I was young. My dad and my uncle got me into it. They actually got me into hunting and shooting a bow. And we met Jerry Hill, and Jerry Hill Jr. And he was in the archery tournaments and showed us stuff. And you know, I was young and impressionable, and that man made a great impression on me. He taught me that with a bow, you've got to constantly work at it, strive to be better. And we were always looking for something to do. We got into tournaments, Dad and him was in the tournaments, and we got into that. And then we were looking at something to do. So we started hearing about shooting fish and went to shooting fish, and we used to wade fish. I mean, way back then, that was way before we did boats, and it was great. You know, we'd take a little spotlight. And to me as a kid, you know, I remember those times and time spent with my dad just out at night. You know, that was great. So that's what I tried to do with my kids when they were coming up, is make sure I spent time with them. Mm-hmm. And show them this, and the same thing with my grandkids. You know, now I've got 9 grandkids, man, and try to show them what we're doing, and they look at it and say, "Oh, well, this is easy. This is different." So every once in a while, I'll get an old bow, and I'll find me a bow that I can rig up for them, and I'll hand them my hand wrap, and I'm like, "Here's the way I started. Try this out." And most of the time, going back to that, you know, I thought it would be like weird for them. But most of my, they're all like, "Hey, this is pretty neat. Now this is different." I'm like, "Yeah, it changes everything." So yeah. I do that. I catch myself doing that too. I start having, you know, when I was shooting tournaments all the time, I start having a bad night or a bad week, you know, and getting off, and I just, hey, just throw all the stuff to the side and get back to the basics and go back to shooting fish for fun. Actually, I got to do that. I don't know if y'all seen my wife. She's trying to post all my pictures and keep stuff up, but we have some cancellations, and me and her, a couple friends of ours, we run up to a river or up to the lake a couple hours away from the house. We ran up there last night and shot some gar, some commons, and I'm like, wow, this is great. You know, it's very rare that I get to do that, that I get to shoot some fish and just get back into it. So being today, I'm like, okay, I've got to get back in tune with the stingrays and get back to working and putting everybody on it. But it's nice to get back to the old days.
When we were on your boat last year, you were telling us that even on your days you don't have trips booked, that you'll run that whole bay. Didn't you say that when you're looking for fish for that night, if you're not really on the fish, that you'll run the whole bay and burn a tank of fuel basically trying to find the fish? Is that a normal thing you're doing, or is that just when it's kind of went cold and you're?
No, I try to stay up with the fish. Stingrays move, and they move a lot. They move by pressure. Is their biggest, you know, they move with their fish, with their feeding on, but they move with pressure, and it's not really pressure being shot at, it's boat pressure. So I do it a lot. If I have some downtime where I'm not on the water for a couple of days, and then I've got, you know, trips coming back up and I need to get on there, you know, I'll take 4 or 5 hours, and I'll either hit the water during the day, you know, where I can cover a lot of ground real fast, or I'll hit it at night, and we'll get out and scout and just locate the fish and try to find out where they're at. And that's why, you know, I know I've had some guys, they see me, I get real quiet. And for me to get quiet, that's kind of strange. But if we're having a bad night, I get real quiet. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm trying to figure out, okay, what did they do? What changed? Where did they move to? Because, you know, I've said it before. I know I told y'all, you know, what's guiding light? People have asked me, you know, And what's like, and I tell them, I said, you know, it's like taking a tournament, a 12-hour tournament, plus all your scouting that you do the 3 or 4 days before or a week before with some of the good guys, and putting all that into 4 hours. You know, you've got 4 hours to locate the fish, make sure we get the fish and the clients and shoot them. And in a lot of cases, teach people how to shoot and how to shoot the water we shoot, you know, because, I mean, heck, sometimes, you know, you've seen it. We get out here in water here, and we'll have visibility 14, 15, 16 foot. And to me, muddy water here on our bay, if I don't have 4 or 5 foot visibility, it's muddy. You know, it's bad. And I know it's not like being on the rivers. When I run up and we're shooting on Team Muzzy, you know, I try to get up there 4 or 5 days in advance just to get acclimated to the water, the clarity, mm-hmm. you know, because you go from that clear water to muddy water, you know, it's bad. But you go from that muddy water to the clear water, it's even worse, you know, and I see it. It takes a lot of shooting to get that down.
Yeah,
but lots of them guys that come up here for the open, you know, they'll be on Table Rock or Bull Shoals and have that same type of visibility, and it just jacks with them. I mean, some of them can't even get used to it at all. I mean, they're used to shooting fish in a foot of water, or they can't see it. And, you know, you've got fish 3, 4, 5 foot deep that you can see clear as day.
On the regular. Yeah, that's the thing.
Like, we just got that big rain come through. When I crossed the bridge, I bet you I could still see. The lake's up 5 foot in 2 days, and I could still see 3 or 4 foot deep pretty easily.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel that pain of going to muddy water to clear water for sure.
I'll never forget going down there with you, Jeff. Chase and I took a trip with last summer. You were spotting flounder on the bottom, probably 15 to 18 feet deep. And we'd have to stare at that spot. I had to stare and be like, I have no idea what he's talking about. I cannot see anything. And you're like, no, it's right there. It's right there. And he finally just took the boat and we're like, it's right here. And you shot it. And it was like, you know, 16 feet deep. I was like, yeah,
maybe not 16. It was deep.
It was, dude, I'm telling you, it was deep.
The thing about the flounder I like is once you figure out what you're looking for, you can see them. You got to look. It's almost like a little, like, triangle or something laying on the bottom that's just a little different color than everything else.
And what I thought was also cool is if you moved 2 feet, it was like a totally different thing, totally different vision.
Mm-hmm.
It was super cool. Super cool.
So,
that's the thing.
Go ahead.
That's the thing with flounder. I always call flounder a woman's best friend because they look like a diamond. You know, what woman don't like a diamond? That's what I tell all the guys. I said, you're looking for a woman's best friend. It looks like a diamond with BBs on it. You know, and that's kind of the shape of a flounder. The way I spot them, what I try to explain, you know, to everybody is I look for a disturbance on the bottom. You know, it's the difference between flounder and shooting southerns fishing on the bottom is they don't throw a shadow. And there's nothing for them to throw a shadow. If those lights there's no shadow because they're laying on the bottom. When you take a common or anything that's moving in the water column, it throws a shadow. And you don't realize it at first, but that's what your eyes actually key on.
Mm-hmm.
If when you're scanning and looking for fish, you know, you don't key on there's the fish. You see it because it's association. But what you actually see is the void, the difference. And that shadow, that big black shadow that you don't even see once you see the fish, you don't even notice it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what most of the time you key on. And I had a guy explain that to me years ago, and I thought he was crazy. I'm like, man, there's no way. And now seeing it, after doing it all these years, I'm like, yeah, I see more than something, especially when I go shooting these flatfish. You know, anything that's laying on the bottom, it's not throwing a shadow. So to find them, you just got to look for disturbance.
Hmm.
You know, the cow rays, we got a lot of new guides that's coming in, and that's what they target, the cow rays. They haven't figured out, you know, how to find the southerns or what to look for. But, you know, everybody will if you have somebody explain to you. And the cow rays are great. I went probably 4 years and never let a client shoot a cow nose, just because I was learning and wanted to teach everybody so much on how to find the flatfish. And then once I found out for sure they were 100% legal and you know, people were liking it, then we started shooting them. And they're a fish that when you shoot a cow ray, it's different. You better be hanging on because they're going to run around the boat at least 10 or 15 times.
They're a little smaller than the southern dright, but they've got some speed to them.
Yeah, they've got a lot of speed. They don't pull as hard. They never stop, but they never stop, and they're always constantly changing, and they'll just go in circles and move around. And there's a few little tricks to them that I won't get into on how to find them and how to shoot them. But when you get on the boat, I know y'all see me. I'll tell you things. I'm like, hey, this stays clear right here. And let me show you this. Yep. And I'll show you why we do this. And it's not I don't want to help anybody out. I want to help people out all I can and teach them all I can. But what I've learned over the years is if you tell somebody too much information, then they quit trying to grow and learn how and why they do something and why a fish is doing this and why we do it. So, yeah, there's still some tricks that I try to keep under my belt. And I've learned from being in the tournament scene. Everybody's got these little tricks, and once you fish with somebody, it's like, oh, okay, now I see why you do this, and it makes sense. Mm-hmm. And then you go to apply it yourself. What I love about
figuring out tricks and you know, I always think when I figure something out that I'm like, man, this is awesome. Nobody's doing this. And then you start talking to the right people and they're like, oh yeah, we've been doing that for 10 years, you know?
Yeah.
But when you figure it out yourself, you feel so much more accomplished, you know, you're like, I actually figured out what these guys are doing and it works, you know, no one had to tell me, I just figured it out. And I like that part of the sport for sure.
That's the intrigue, frankly, mm-hmm. half the time, you know, just figuring things out, period. I mean, you can go out and shoot a mess of 10-pound commons often, but that's not the allure once you've done that for a season. And for you, Jeff, I'm sure you could go out and shoot every flounder in the bay, but that's not what you're into now because you know how to do that. So it's the next step. And man, I know, and when we went down there, obviously it was a good time, but just it was almost the next step in bow fishing for me because you know, being on the boat with a guy that's been bow fishing for 42 years, you just pick up on these little things and you're like, oh, wow, look at that. And it's what we've been talking about, but it was well worth the drive and the
price of admission.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
right. So if someone comes down there, what all species are they shooting down there?
Well, state of Florida actually has a list of species we can't shoot. They're smaller than what we can shoot. But the main species we shoot southern stingrays, we shoot cow rays, we shoot mullet, we shoot flounder, we shoot sheephead, we shoot needlefish, we shoot pinfish, which are very small. Everybody like that. It's like a bream, you know, it's real small.
Mm-hmm.
We shoot, ling on occasion when we do see them come through, you know, we can shoot them. Spanish mackerel, we can shoot those when they come through. We've actually been seeing some bluefish for the last couple of years. Those are new for us to see. Black drum, we've been seeing a few black drums been showing up in some of the areas that I fish. Now, I don't fish the whole bay all the time, but some of the areas that I fish constantly, I'm starting to see different species move in. The big no-no is we cannot shoot redfish and we cannot shoot trout and we cannot shoot crabs. Those are three species that everybody wants to shoot because you can shoot them in other states, but we cannot shoot them here. And when you say
crabs, you're talking about what are the horseshoe crabs that look like almost like a stingray a little?
The horseshoe crabs are, as far as I know, they're illegal all across the country.
Gotcha.
Because they're federally protected. But the blue crabs and we can't shoot them at all here. I know you can in Alabama. I just recently found that out. I was talking with a guy that I know over there, and he said they opened it up where they can shoot them there. And I'm like, well, man, that's going to really confuse people. We really got to watch because we don't want people coming to Florida and shooting species they can't shoot, just like sharks. The last I checked, the world record with a bow shark was shot in the state of Florida. But we lost sharks in 2000. They took them away from us, so we can't shoot sharks in the state of Florida anymore. And people are looking, and they'll see the records, and they're like, well, y'all got the record? Yeah, you can shoot it. And it's like, no, they took them away from us right after that record was gotten.
Yeah. Can't shoot eagle rays, if I remember right. We had two of those in front of the boat multiple times.
Big as Volkswagens.
Yeah. Those things were giant.
Spotted eagle rays are huge, and I get a lot of people wanting to know what they look like. And it looks just like an eagle. You know, they got spots on them. The easiest thing to remember, what you can't shoot is if it's got spots on it, don't shoot it.
Yeah.
We have a few species that you can, but it's easier just to say, you know, just don't shoot it. Devil rays, we see a lot of those. And we get a lot of devil rays that come in that are juveniles. And, man, they will throw you off in a heartbeat because the juveniles are not black and white like the devil rays and the manta rays, big ones everybody sees. They're brown, and they look real similar to the cow rays when you first see them. So you really have to watch. You know, I catch myself a lot of times, you know, getting people to wait, and let's verify what we're shooting at. Turtles. We have a host of turtles in our bays. And they're doing a great restoration for turtles, and I'm glad. But you really, as a bow fisherman, you really have to watch because there'll be a lot of times you'll see something and you'll swear up and down it's a ray, and when you get a good clear look at it, it's a turtle. And that's what I try to tell everybody. You know, it's bow fishing, whether you're bow fishing here, you're bow fishing on a river or wherever, you know, is do like you would with. Like everybody does when they're hunting, when you're deer hunting or turkey hunting or anything else, you know what you're shooting at. Have a good, clean line of sight and know exactly what you're shooting at before you let that arrow go. Because once you let it go, you can't get it back. You
know, for sure.
It's a done deal.
For sure. So are you, you said you weren't going to make it up to the Muzzy this year, but you are going to be up here for the U.S. Open?
I didn't hear that. About the Muzzy?
Yeah, did you say you're not going to make it to the Muzzy, but you are going to make it up to the U.S. Open?
No, I definitely will not make the U.S. Open. I won't make any of the championships. I was trying to swing it to where I could make it up to the Muzzy, and right now it don't look like it. If I do, if I make it to the Muzzy, I won't be fishing a tournament. You know, I may swing up and kind of mingle with people and see everybody and
shake hands and kiss babies. Yep.
But already for the Open, the dates of the Open and the dates of the championship, I've already got trips already booked. And I was hoping to make it to the Worlds this year, but I've actually got a big trip, an all-night trip booked the night before that trip. So I know I won't be able to make that one either.
Gotcha. Well, I always look forward to seeing you up here and getting to BS a little bit. We didn't get to make it down to Gunnersville for the carp out this year, so I haven't got to see you in a while. But how can people get in touch with you if they're looking to book a trip, find some information out from you, see what dates are available? How do people?
My Facebook page at Fish Hunter Enterprise Bow Fishing. It's there. We got Fish Hunter Enterprise on Facebook. You know, they both got my contact number, my email, and my website. Our website is www.fishhunterenterprise.com. My phone number, 850-624-5817. You know, anybody can call me about any time. If leave a message if you call me, because there's times when I do not answer my phone. I try not to answer my phone when I'm on the boat with a client. You know, I try to just let it go to voicemail. I do that with all my clients. Now, there's sometimes I have to answer the phone. I got caller ID, so there's some calls that I have to take, but I try not to. But I try to give everybody, you know, respect. If you talk to a woman, if you call my number and you talk to a woman, don't freak out. It's my wife. And I promise you, she knows probably as much, if not more, about the bow fishing business and what we're doing is a lot of guys and a lot of people. And she can talk you through and explain a lot of stuff to you. And she actually is doing a lot of my booking this year because I've been concentrating on finding fish and keeping people on fish and getting all of our new changes in order. But
awesome.
It's, anybody got any questions? I mean, I try to help everybody out, you know, all I can. And definitely have a good time.
Oh, yeah. So I got one last question before we get you off the line. What would be one tip you would give someone in the sport of bow fishing?
Well, try it one more time. What would be one fish?
What would be one tip you would give somebody, the best tip you could give somebody in the sport of bow fishing?
Without giving away any family secrets.
Yeah.
What would be the best thing I could – if I could give anybody anything in the sport of bow fishing, what would I give them?
As far as a tip on helping them find fish or helping them with anything related to the sport?
The best tip I can give you, don't throw your fish at the boat ramp. Don't dispose of your fish at the boat ramp. Know your laws for the area you're in. That's another biggie that I see. But patience would have to be the number one thing I'd say. Patience and listen to the older guys. You know, I'm not saying just because I'm one of the older guys, but, you know, there's guys that I look up to that's into this, and I'm like, wow, if I can get them to talking and they'll feed me their information or I can find out something from them, definitely listen to people that's been there and done that. It's a sport that we all need to help grow, and we all need to help each other. You know, it's not a – I know everybody's into the tournaments, and I love going to tournaments, but I don't really go to tournaments to win. I go to tournaments for the camaraderie and to be around other guys and other women and everybody that's into the bow fishing. That's what I love.
For sure.
I would have to say if I could give you one thing, and it's, you know – have patience and teach everybody our sport the right way. You know, that's what I would try to tell everybody to carry out for this. And that's because I want to see our sport grow, and I'm steadily seeing it taken away from us.
No, it is.
The BAA has been instrumental in trying to stay on top of it. But, you know, the BAA is just a group of guys and girls that are trying to help out. But they don't know everything. So if you have problems, you need to let them know, voice your concerns, and talk to people and try to figure out plans. You know, don't just bash somebody. That's something I've seen. And I got a heads up from a guy. I had a guy that helps me a lot and keeps me grounded. And he told me several months back, he said, I hate to say it, but we're fixing to see a lot of changes in the bow fishing community. He said, just, you know, don't pay no mind, just, you know, keep your head down and just keep grinding. He said, I see it coming. And, man, he was so right. I'm seeing it already. You know, I'm on Muzzy's pro staff. And I'm on their pro staff because I like their gear, I like their equipment. But I also like AMS's equipment and the stuff they do. I'm not going to bash anybody or put anybody's equipment down. Hey, to each his own. For what I do, you know, Muzzy has the best equipment for what I do. If I was doing something different, AMS may have the best equipment.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm saying is don't knock somebody because of what they shoot or say, hey, that's garbage. You don't need to be shooting that. You don't need to be doing that. You need to be doing this because this is what all the cool kids are doing. You know, it's just like I said earlier, you know, I've got a night of bows on my bow to show people and to help people and say, okay, here's what all the hype's about. Shoot it. Try it out. I'll answer any questions. I'll help you out all I can. But, I've also thought about, I may go back and go find me an old longbow or an old recurve like what I used started out with and put me an old bear hand wrap reel on it that I started out with. And just to show people, hey, this is where we started 45, mm-hmm. 42 years ago for me, 45 for some guys. And this is where we started.
That'd be a fun tournament to put together. Have an old school tournament where you have to shoot a recurve and a hand wrap reel.
Only.
Yeah.
Go back to old school. I thought about that. I've been thinking about that a lot. I would love to see a tournament that would be, it had to be, for me to be there, I would have to not have conflicting interest as far as my business, but I would love to see a 4-hour tournament shot with old longbows and old recurves with hand wrap reels.
That'd be cool.
Like some of the bank wading tournaments or something, it's total motor boats, everybody's into the airboats and airboats are great. They've got their own spot, but let's take all of the money that everybody can throw into bow fishing like NASCAR's doing and get back to the old days. And once you get back to the old ways of doing things, I believe it'll make you a better bow fisherman. And, I try to tell everybody that's coming up, hey, what's the best thing to get? The best thing to get is what you're comfortable with. And get something and get out there and do it. And if you got any questions, ask somebody. But then again, the people that's getting asked questions, don't put people down for asking questions. Don't say, oh, that's garbage. I'm seeing that so much on social media that it's just like disheartening for me.
Yeah, everybody's on their high horse about the bow they're shooting or the arrows they're shooting or their pro staff for this person or this company. And if it's not that, they just want to talk bad about it.
I think for a lot of people, because it's only getting a few people that are talking. For myself, if I see somebody on there that's like, this is the best and that's garbage, I'm immediately turned off by that. And as a, maybe if I had a business that was sponsoring people, I would not want somebody that would be like that because that's just killing your brand and killing your image. Jeff, I don't see you getting on there bashing any other guide services. You handle it with a lot of, and frankly, I think it's known, or at least in my opinion, that's probably you're the number one stingray guide out there. I don't think there's any question about that, or at least there's a lot of presence and a lot of people talk about it. You're referenced more than anybody, but I've never seen you, bad mouth or, it's just nobody likes that. So nobody cares.
That's what I try to do. And that's what, I'm human. Don't get me wrong. I'm human and I'm going to make mistakes. And I try to tell everybody, hey, if you think I've done something wrong or I've made a mistake, let me know. Don't throw it on social media. Don't, go spreading the whole word, but let me know. But I try to strive to make bow fishing better. What I do and why I started guiding is I wanted the opportunity to not only teach my kids and my grandkids a sport that I love and I'm very passionate about, but I wanted the opportunity to teach that to everybody. I had a guy, matter of fact, I had a young guy on my boat a couple of years ago. He looks at the number. He's like, man, every time I call your book, he said, you've got to be making a killing. I'm like, man, there's no money in guys. The expenses are astronomical. I mean, it's like running a tournament every trip. Once you get the P&L out there, it's crazy. The errors and all the stuff we go through. But I told that kid, I said, I do this to teach people like you what I'm doing and the sport. That's what I want to do. I try to strive to take new people. I've got 20% new clientele that I try to get out and make sure I can find a spot for every year. I've got a big return clientele, But I also, if I get somebody that calls me up that's never been, they know nothing about the sport other than they heard it or they saw it on TV, and they want to learn, I will do everything I possibly can to get them out on a trip, whether it's make a spot for them, you know, or add them to a trip with some other people that I know's been out before, or go extra early. I mean, there's times my wife has to tell me, hey, you can't do this. You know, three trips a day is way too much. You can't go during the day and then all night long and then turn out to do it again. And I'm like, why? She said, you're getting old. You know, I'm worried about you, but she sees my passion in it. And,
right.
I get people asking me all the time about our age limit. You know, we have a 12-year or older age limit for being able to shoot. And I get people asking me all that all the time. And it's not me. Yeah, I can get some smaller bows, and I want to teach all the kids I can. It's not me. It's new. It's insurance. It's something they've come up with, and I don't know why, but something they come up with, and they said, you know, for this sport, we need to be here. And insurance is a big, it's a real big thing that I don't follow it much, but I know it gets expensive. But I want to try to teach everybody I can, and that's what I'm passionate about. You know, if I can answer questions or help anybody out, you know, I will try.
Awesome.
Sometimes I'm short with people. You know, I get guys calling me a lot of times and ask me about stuff, and I'm short with them, and it's not. I'm trying to be short. It's usually I'm busy or got something going on or working on something or I'm trying to get on a trip or you know, like we were talking about earlier, I do a lot of scout. I'm on the water a lot. I think last year, we put like 1,100 hours on our outboard motor. Just last year. Wow.
I thought my 120 was a lot.
Yeah. It's like, you know, I get guys like, wow, how do you do that? And it's like, you know, And I'm not running my – I've got a kicker motor on my boat now. I don't know if y'all have been down since I've added the kicker, but I'm not running the motor all the time, you know, the big motor. The only time I'm running the big motor all the time is, you know, if we're specifically chasing a species or if I'm trying to cover a lot of ground or if I'm scouting. And if I'm scouting, I'm covering a lot of ground. Mm-hmm. And, like, the bay where we went out of St. Joe – I mean, Panama City Bay there, I will probably run that whole bay, the whole bay, once every 2 weeks, you know, and just check it all out.
Yeah.
Especially with the rain, you know, we start getting rains in and the muddy water moves in and you want to know where the water line, the mud water's at, the red water, and where the fish, once they start moving. Like I told you earlier, our jet skis, man, these jet skis are running at a foot of water now, 2 foot. I don't know what's up with those guys, but they move fish big time. They move all the rays move off and blow out. They won't stay still. The redfish won't stay there, which we can't shoot. But you know, I talk to guys. I got a lot of my friends that run rod fish for redfish, and you know, they call me, "Hey, have you seen any? Because we're not catching any." And I'm like, "Yeah, they moved over here." You know, or no, I hadn't seen them, and I hadn't even seen any rays. But you know, I try to cover the whole bay, and
right,
and I don't even know what the miles are. I know what it takes me. If I cover the whole bay, I can run the whole bay. If I get to stay on plane on the whole bay at high tide, it will take me 2.5 to 3 hours to cover that whole bay.
Hmm.
And that's running. And that's not stopping. That's not stopping and looking. That's running looking for fish to blow out. And so if you ever see me, if anybody comes down and you see me, and I tell you, yeah, we just run the whole bay and we're here. That means I've been on the water for a long time.
Yeah. Definitely.
But, well, I tell you what, I we're pushing about an hour here and we're going to try to.
Don't want to take any more of your time.
Yeah, either. I don't want to take any more of your time. I'm sure you've got people coming on tonight.
I'm good today. It's raining now.
Oh, is it? Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. We don't have any trips tonight. That's all. It's still early. May, we're almost fully booked in May.
Gotcha.
Awesome.
But,
well, cool.
What we'll do is I'll share a link when we post this up Jeff, I'll put a link to your website and your Facebook page. I'll even put your number on there, and we'll make sure that everybody knows everything they can know about Fish Hunter Enterprises. Like I said, Chase and I went out with you. Chase went twice. Couldn't recommend a better night down in old PCB. So yeah, it's a good time. Good time for sure.
Yeah, I appreciate you coming on. And,
yeah, definitely. And really appreciate it.
Well, yeah, go ahead.
I try, man. I try, man. I hope I don't sound too crazy, but
No.
It was great. Yeah, it was awesome.
No, you're good.
I don't know if y'all seen it, but I know we've been posting. We did a show with the Natural Addiction. We filmed a show. It's the whole bow fishing show that we did. It's already aired once. It's coming up again for the first one. And they've actually got the footage, I believe, for the second one. But we're fixing to film another show with them, and I'm kind of excited because I think we're going to be able to do it a lot with them. You know, they're new and upcoming, and we're doing a lot of shows with them. We did the one with T-Bone and Michael and Nick. We got out with the Bone Collector guys, and that was phenomenal. That was a learning experience for me. Mm. We've done several shows, and that's what I think a lot of people are doing, are getting into the shows and doing the shows. But one we got with Natural Addiction, it's more of a family-oriented shows. We try to show what you can do, and it don't take a whole lot of expense and money to go out, but you can go out and have fun. Mostly.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
Just taking to the masses.
That's right.
It's good stuff. Well, yeah. Jeff, I can't thank you enough for coming on, and we definitely we'll try to catch up with you maybe this time next year too, just see what's going on down there at Fish Hunter Enterprises.
Yep. Just
thank you.
Stay safe down there and have fun guiding and keep killing them 100-pound rays.
Yeah, we look forward to it. And I actually hoping y'all can get down sometime this summer.
I don't know. I might be able to. I don't know about Pate though.
I got a baby coming in 2 days, so we'll see. If I'm coming to Florida, I'm coming to see you as well. I guarantee.
<That's right.
laughs> if I'm getting drugged down there, then I'm coming to see you. That's for sure.
Yeah,
well, that's good. Just leave the bad weather up there. We don't need it.
Well, I'll try.
Yeah, sure. We don't need the bad weather.
No way.
All right, guys, I appreciate it. And like I said, anything I can do to help y'all out, just let me know.
Yep, for sure.
I try to make myself as available as I can. Yes, we do all we can for it.
Yes, all right, we'll talk to you later.
All right, thanks, Jeff. Well, that was a cool conversation with Mr. Jeff White.
You know, he's always good to talk to. You know, anytime we've been down there and went with him, you know, he'll talk your ear off on the boat. And anytime I've run into him at tournaments, we sit around for 20 minutes talking. You know, just a good guy.
Yeah, all around good dude.
Like a big teddy bear.
That's right. He is.
Yeah. What did Nevol say about his I was trying to figure it out during the show, but I couldn't really just yell it out. Did he say he was Merle Haggard? Not Merle Haggard. Remember he said he called his deckhand something.
Yeah. He kind of looked like Mountain Man off of Duck Dynasty to me.
Yeah.
Well, the guy's Steve, right?
I don't know.
He didn't say much from the back of the boat. But he's a good dude.
Oh, yeah, he's a good guy. Jump up there, clip the barbs off the stingrays. And
good stuff.
Yeah.
Well, guys, be sure to like us on Facebook, Instagram, subscribe on YouTube, subscribe on iTunes.
Leave a review.
Leave a review. It's super, super cool and important. It's how we know we're doing good. We get a few messages, which are awesome. But if it's even cooler, if you're even cooler, I can't speak English. So like us or leave a message or something on the iTunes. That's that helps us a lot. So yeah,
got a couple, not necessarily sponsors of the show, but
friends of the podcast,
Pro Guide Batteries and Battery Outfitters.
Yep.
InDesigns, Nevol, he put us together an awesome logo. Probably need to order some shirts at some point.
We do. I've thought about that. Yeah. Would any hey, listen. Though. Oh, listen, here's a good idea. If you would like a decal hat shirt that says Rough Fish Registry and then something clever on the back, you know, like, I don't know, Chase, let's spitball here.
Yeah, like, I like pudding.
I like pudding.
Chad, you know, Chad's episode.
Yeah.
No, it wouldn't be
that. My friends call me pudding.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if anybody be interested in something like that, shoot us a message and we'll garner some ideas and.
Yeah. Well, you know what we could put on there, since Tommy and Shorty gave us the GPS coordinates of where they killed them big grass.
That's guard. On next week's episode.
Oh, that's next week's? I thought we were flipping them.
No, it's next week.
Well, fine.
Or actually, no. Yeah, Jeff. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Tommy, last week.
Yeah.
We record all these the same day. I have a baby due in 2 days.
Yeah, we could code in the GPS coordinates.
Yeah, yeah. It's like Morse code.
Yeah.
Get your Morse code machines out, whatever.
No, they didn't tell us anything.
They didn't tell us anything.
No. They laughed when we asked them.
We wouldn't tell anybody either, so yeah. It's all good. So, yeah, that's it.
Yeah, check us out on all the interwebs. And
let us know if we're doing bad, too. You're like, boys, pick it up. It's kind of sucking.
Yeah.
So
I feel like we're a little more chipper. You know, our first show, we were real chipper. And then second show, we were pretty good. That was same day. And then we knocked two more out, and it was a little kind of like, this might work, this might not.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're getting some feedback, you know, we're getting the flow of things.
We got to be excited. Super excited.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. So on that strange note.
Yep.
It's 59 minutes right now, so or actually 58:45. So
gotcha.
It's really, yeah. So, all right. Well, guys, we'll talk to you all later.
Yep.
Peace.
See ya.